This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is sponsored by The Salon.
This episode of the Inner Ho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your motherfucking thing, then you can motherfucking do it by going to the show notes and clicking the YouTube link that we have up in there. Inner Ho Uprising. Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho who lives in New York City, who is in her pajamas today, who doesn't have blue eyebrows, because right after this, I'm going back in the motherfucking bed that I've been in all day. It's been such a good day. And my pronouns are she and her.
And me, Rob, a queer, non-binary, firefighting feminist here to fuck the shit up. Pronouns are they, them, and daddy, and I'm also in my pajamas. I have not been in bed for a long time, but I will be crawling right into this shit.
Every episode of the Inner Ho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely, lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're talking about moving that body. Move your body, girl. Everything is Make a song, and I'm so good. Sorry. Ooh. Anyway, very dope research about black girls' sexual health and substance abuse, fucking roommates during the pandemic, who else is fucking during the pandemic, and a possible HSV-1 cure. That is herpes simplex virus 1.
Mm-hmm. And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter. Don't put the G there, bitch. Inner Ho Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising, CUMMUNITY. Head to innerhoUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a ho, or check out merch and dice.
Skirt! Later, we're going to talk about the people who bought... Sorry. It was not a skirt to you. It was a skirt to the merchandise.
It's funny.
But we have no more merch. Ah! Also, the leave the G off. You remember M-A-T-T-R-E-S? But it's only one S, yeah, and they're like, S. Leave the last S off for savings?
Yeah.
What are we leaving the G off for?
For?
It has to be gayness.
Yeah, for gay nigga shit. Real gay nigga shit. Real
gay nigga shit. That's why you gotta leave the G off. Yeah, you have to keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I can't tell nobody.
That's the gay agenda, spelling uprising wrong. Well, if you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, or to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop at your organization, we would love to do that. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Okay.
Our first segment of the day is Ho of the Week. Ho of the Week is where we shout out homies who have supported IHU in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. This week, we got Jordan M, aka Jordy Shore, who became a patron on Patreon. We got Alonda D, aka Angelica Pickles, who in theory purchased the last t-shirt, but then I looked at the stock and there was another t-shirt. So the real purchaser of the last t-shirt is Brittany B, aka AYTO, who purchased the real last Inner Ho Uprising t-shirt. And with that, we have another generation of Inner Ho Uprising shirts that are done. The one that I'm wearing right now that you can see on YouTube, not in production anymore. The one that Brittany bought is clip for that.
Clip.
Maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But thank you all for selling out our merch. If you would like to be a Ho of the Week and get a cool nickname, here are some things that you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written or shout us out on social media. Those are some non-monetary ways that you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support. And we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks. Please do not spend your last dollar on us. That is a command and a demand. But if you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/ Inner Ho, or you can become a patron on Patreon by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising, the links to both of which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights, and for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. At any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early and entries to our workshops and parties. And for October, Halloween viewings only. Let us go into self-care tip of the week, the segment where we give you some advice on how to take care of yourselves. This week, we're talking about moving your body during that second wave.
Yes.
Are we talking about an ocean? Is there a tsunami coming?
No.
Sure as shit, hope not.
Considering the way that these hurricanes are going.
Don't rule it out.
Yeah, don't rule it out. So this is a self-care tip for just in case a tsunami comes as well. So
swim, nigga.
Yeah, let's go to the YMCA and learn how to swim, except social distance.
Ooh, child.
So I know that during the pandemic, especially if you have a job that allows you to work from home, you don't move as much as you used to. And it's not even just about, oh, I gained weight or something like that, but your muscles are literally not being used, as you're not leaving the house as much as you used to. So your muscles are maybe, not are, but maybe deteriorating or just losing the mass that it once had. And in turn, also, you might have inflammation in your joints. You might be feeling aches and pains that you didn't feel before, or aches and pains may have worsened. So I'm here to give you advice that you might have already heard, but you won't hear that shit again because it's fucking important.
A gentle reminder.
A gentle reminder. Except that I'm fucking shaking shit. So one thing that I did in the beginning, which was really helpful, was go on YouTube and search yoga videos. Like, not trying to like wild out, just going like beginner yoga, because I don't know anything about yoga and I didn't want to pull a muscle while I was at home. And it did help me stay limber while I did absolutely fucking nothing. And also was nice to just get up and do something to feel productive other than sitting in front of my computer. Gave me a little bit more purpose as far as like existing during the pandemic. Like, okay, cool, I'm not existing in my home solely to please my employers. I'm also like a person who's taking care of themselves during the pandemic. So now my neighborhood is one of the hot spots in New York City. By that, I mean we have a 5% or higher than 5% positive, positive COVID testing percentage. Is that how I say it? Does that make sense?
5% of people who are testing positive for coronavirus.
There you go. You put the words in the order that it needed to go.
Teamwork make the dream work.
That's why we're here together. So with that, it means that my gym that opened up a month ago, and they were actually doing a really good job. I really fucked with the way that they had the gym open, but they had to close. So I was really getting into the gym and I was fucking loving it. So I was sad, but I wasn't broken. So I decided to, like, I had a friend who was doing Insanity, sending ass sweaty ass videos and shit. So I'm like, let me do some cardio in the house. They have prenatal, postnatal workouts. They have like Zumba workouts and like hip hop workouts. They have just about like everything you could think of in a video.
Nice.
Which was like really cool. And considering the amount of videos, I mean, the amount of content is ridiculous, because it's not only just the videos. You get access to like a coach, like somebody you can actually type to.
Oh, that's really cool. That's
and
useful.
It's very useful, but especially in the time right now where we can't physically go talk to a trainer anymore. Mm-hmm. It really changed my mind about what it meant to move during quarantine.
Cool.
It's not like you need a lot of space. I even did it with my dogs, like, right fucking under me. Like, literally under me. And every time I did a push-up, they licked my fucking fingers and shit. Super annoying. But I had enough space to do that. And I did a workout, and then I even did yoga at the end of the day. Because I'm like, nice. I really want to stretch. And the thing about this pandemic when it comes to your body, that like you can have unexplained muscle pains and body aches, and they are very real And they can definitely be directly linked to stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because you build up all the stress in your body. You're in a constant state of alertness. Because mm-hmm. you're like, this virus is real. It's very real. And it's definitely affecting us in all aspects of our life. And when you build up all these stress hormones, your body's like, okay, cool. So everything's a threat. And it starts attacking itself. You start to have inflammation. You could even get autoimmune diseases because of stress. And making it a goal to try to move once every other day, once every 3 days, once a day if you can. If you can't sign up for the Beachbody app, going on YouTube, or sitting down and doing a body scan. And by that I mean like closing your eyes and becoming very mindful of how your body feels. Mm-hmm. So like starting at like the tip of your toes and your ankles to your knees to your hips, and just seeing like what hurts, what doesn't hurt, what feels different. Like right now I know that I have pain in the very bottom of my lower back on the left side. However, if I'm like super stressed out, I might not even take the time to think about where all my pains are. But if you do a body scan and you become aware of what's tight in your body, what hurts in your body, you don't even need YouTube or an app. You can just stretch that part. And I think like stretching comes pretty natural because you know what part
feels good.
Yeah. You start doing some shit like, ooh, that shit don't feel good. And you do some other shit like, I'm hitting the spot. Also, you can, with knowing what hurts, even if you don't know the name of it, because it's a lot of fucking muscles, you can Google like, my lower left back hurts, what kind of stretch can I do? Mm-hmm. And you just find a new stretch. I found some new stretches that I'm like, what the fuck is this? This shit feels amazing.
I love new stretches. It's like a new sex position that's like hitting the spot, honestly.
Like,
this is amazing. I want to do this all the time. And like, then you kind of like pull the muscle out and it feels good. And you're like, I wish it was still tight so I could feel that feeling again. It's like cleaning your ears. It's really weird.
Yes, it is like cleaning your ears. Because even my triceps are sore and I was at work and I just, you know, stretched out and put my arms behind my head and I felt my triceps stretch and I was like, oh shit. But I'm at the kitchen table and I'm like, I can't really show the pleasure I'm feeling on my face because nobody needs to know that I'm about to have an orgasm. But just the stress, like that stretch felt so good. And I know that when I did a body scan today, it was just my triceps felt like the muscles felt dry. And it's just because I need to break up all the lactic acid that I have in my triceps and shit. So, yes, that's my self-care tip, is just keep moving. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, we already see what's happening, let's be honest. And you want to prepare your body in a way that you have longevity. And one way to do that is to stay limber, to keep moving your joints as much as you can. Whatever joints you can move, move them, because you want to be ready. You don't want the stress to take over your body if you can help it. So that's my self-care tip.
We are now going to bring out our special guest, Nina Sky, to perform. Move your body, girl, makes the fellas go. The way you ride it, girl, make the fellas go. All right. That could go on forever, but it shouldn't.
It just really shouldn't. It won't. I'm going to put my blanket.
Shout out to yin yoga, since we're talking about yoga. That's my favorite kind of
what
yoga that I discovered during the pandemic. Yin yoga, which is like holding stretches for 2 to 5 minutes. Holding specific yoga poses for 2 to 5 minutes. So the emphasis is on breaking up that lactic acid, flexibility, and then also just like clearing your mind. I love that shit.
Is it yin or yin?
Yin, like yin and yang.
All right. I might have to fuck with that. That's a long ass time. It's dedication.
Yeah, but I like shit like that too.
Like, too.
I need silence for 45 motherfucking minutes. Oh, God.
My dogs would be beautiful. Like, no!
Not on our watch.
Not if we can help it.
All right. Well, moving your body definitely makes you feel good. Something else that if you're listening to this podcast, we can probably say makes you feel good is listening to podcasts. The Salon with Lala Milan is a new podcast that we think that you would really enjoy. You might already know Lala from her viral videos on Instagram and TikTok or her infamous parodies on YouTube. And if you don't, you're missing out. You should go search that. Not only is she a hilarious actress and comedian, she's also an expert on giving beauty tutorials and fashion tips. And her squad are known for their unfiltered conversations and savage pop culture gossip. Her podcast, The Salon, is all of that and more. Lala and her guests will talk about sex, relationships, situationships, and they also cover the latest trends in beauty, juicy celeb gossip, and everything in between. Listening to Lala gives us all of the laughter and advice we need right now, and nothing is off limits in The Salon. Check out The Salon with Lala Milan. I love how it rhymes. Right now on Stitcher, Apple, and your favorite podcast app. And make sure to subscribe while you're at it. All right, now we're going to get into Bae of the Week, which is the segment where we shout out people who we find very cool, very attractive, very smart, very... I don't want to say for the culture, so I'm not. But yeah. I've already put what I'm trying to say in your brain, so you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, we're good. All right.
So this week I want to shout Dr. Ijeoma Opara, PhD, LMSSW. I said that wrong, but you know what I'm talking about, the social worker niggas, MPH, an assistant professor in the School of Social Welfare at Stony Brook University.
Yes.
Dr. Opara, this is why I have heard of her recently. Shout out to my geneticist, Dr. Janina Jeff, over at In Those Genes podcast. But I have learned that Dr. Opara has received an early independence award from the National Institute of Health for a project addressing substance abuse and mental health among urban youth ages 13 to 21. And the award includes a five-year $1.84 million grant. Shout out to Black women scientists receiving funding for important work. That's a pretty penny. That's a pretty penny. But then I'm sure when it's like delegated in regards to science, it's
really
like,
yeah, exactly.
It's actually an ugly fucking penny. One of those fucking rusty shits or whatever. But yeah, that's pretty cool regardless. And I want to highlight the work that she's doing with her lab out of Stony Brook because I think it's kind of pertinent to us here at Inner Hoa Uprising. So her lab at Stony Brook is called the Substance Abuse and Sexual Health, aka SASH Lab, and she is the PI or principal investigator there. So that lab's mission is focused on conducting and disseminating quality substance use and HIV prevention research that highlights the strengths of youth of color, their families, and their communities. One project that is coming out of the SASH Lab that I think is particularly cool is the Dreamer Girls Project, development of HIV, AIDS, STI, and substance use prevention intervention for Black girls. This pilot study aims to adapt a racial and gender-specific evidence-based HIV, AIDS, and substance use prevention program called the Dreamer Girls Project for urban Black girls in Paterson, New Jersey. I love how localized it is because she's from Paterson and she's just like, yo, this is an issue in my community. I'm going to solve issues in my community through my work.
I love it.
The program will be designed for girls who identify as English-speaking, Black, or African-American between the ages of 14 and 18. It'll be an adaptation on the evidence-based HIV prevention intervention, SHIL, Sisters Informing Healthy Living and Empowering. Niggas love their acronyms. And Dr. Opara is one of those people who loves her acronyms and will be adapted to incorporate components of drug prevention. The goal of the Dreamer Girls Project is to, one, increase positive and protective sexual practices like condom use or the use of PrEP and psychosocial skills like HIV knowledge, self-efficacy among Black adolescent girls in Paterson, and to increase knowledge about illicit and licit substances and their relationship with STIs and HIV and AIDS. The aims are to understand what environmental and socio-cultural factors Black adolescent girls prefer in successful HIV and substance use prevention programs and adapt the SHIL intervention for the target population. So yeah, I just think that's really dope. When I was 14, I didn't know what PrEP was. Not many people talked to me about condoms.
No.
And then even more importantly with this, nobody asked me what kind of methods I would like to see for my population to learn these kinds of things, which I think is really the beauty of this project. It's like working with the community that she wants to help. Shout out to Dr. Opara. She also did a really cool project called Examining African-American Parent-Daughter HIV Risk Communication Using a Black Feminist Ecological Lens. I'm not going to get into that one, but I will leave the link to it in the show notes, as well as the link to Sash Lab and their missions and things like that. But just to leave it in her own words, Dr. Opara envisions a world where health disparities that impact Black and Brown youth no longer exist. Black and Brown girls be nurtured and viewed as leaders, and youth of color will be safe in a world that believes in their success. Yay, Dr. Opara.
That's really dope.
Yeah.
I really do love to hear about Black women doing science shit. Like, it should be hitting, man.
It does hit. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing.
Especially with the Black youth dem.
Yeah.
Because, boy, the lack of anything targeted towards anyone other than no one. Exactly. All I had in my high school was the gym teacher had condoms.
Akua says that she remembers condoms in our high school, but I don't remember that shit. So I'm just going to say there wasn't no condoms in my high school.
Yeah, because they're not like...
It wasn't like, you get a condom, you get a...
Exactly. Like, they weren't like readily available like in Kuwait.
It's like an envelope in...
Yeah, in Kuwait they had them. If you went to the hospital or the ER, any kind of health, anything, they had them in the bathrooms. Almost any military post that went to overseas, they had them in the bathrooms. They had them just hiding out on the side. Basically, like, conspicuous and inconspicuous at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But that they were available for you to take and use.
Mm-hmm.
But in high school, it was like, you had to literally go to the gym teacher in between periods. Like, hi, can I have condoms? And then she would go into the office with you, and it was one size condom, one kind of condom. It was very, like, very awkward. Very awkward. It's like, oh, damn, bitch, now you know I'm fucking...
That's a lot of barriers to entry there. No pun mm-hmm. intended.
Because it's like, how do you... Like, me, I'm 15. Like, going to yeah. Rite Aid to buy condoms?
Yeah. It's like a lose-lose situation. I don't have money to do that. And then also, I don't want that awkward situation with the fucking person who works there. But I also don't want my gym teacher to know that I'm fucking...
Yeah.
Which also comes from, like, sexual shame that is ingrained in us. Because, like, I'm 15. If I'm fucking another 15-year-old, it's none of your goddamn business.
Facts.
Unless you're my parent, I guess.
Yeah. And that's the part, too. It's like, oh, if you know I'm fucking and I'm going to, like, get mad condoms, like, are you going to... Like, what if I'm just having a healthy sex life as a teenager? Like, damn, this bitch got, like, 20 condoms. Yeah, like,
I didn't mind you coming for one, but this is the 20th week in a row.
Like, bitch, I'm
You're having more sex than me over there.
But it's protected. I don't trust you, bitch.
Oh, man. Anyway, shout out to Dr. Opara. I shine bright, I shine bright. In all my different colors, all my different colors, colors. We shine bright, we shine bright. In all our different colors, all our different colors. Brooklyn spiller, bad girl killer, known as the baddest, ass ain't the fattest, more than my assets, and I still cause a lot of havoc, but I be on peace and positive energy, still living in a world where folks trying to kill me, here I be, Black women and queer, created all these rules that I couldn't adhere to, resilient, but don't ever fuck with my rights. The more I rise, the more they're trying to bring me down, 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 down. Let us get into the actual show with a segment that we like to call Fuck That. We're talking about more science-y shit and super interesting. Get into it, Rob. Get into it.
All right. So I found this study titled New Gene Therapy Approach Eliminates At Least 90% Latent Herpes Simplex Virus 1. So, real fast, herpes simplex virus is a virus that causes cold sores, that's one, or genital warts is HPV, and that's HSV 2. We also did, like, a whole episode on this, and yes, it will be linked in the show notes.
Yes,
so you can have all the background on why this is so interesting. But just for prevalence, if you've never listened to the episode, 2/3 of the world's population under the age of 50 has HSV1. That's according to who? The World Health Organization.
Which is run by Snoop Dogg, in case you didn't know.
Honestly, I didn't even write the WHO in there, but it came up naturally. And
of course.
Oh gosh, I'm so talented. But if you think about 2/3 of the world's population under the age of 50, that's not including people over the age of 50, which means that everybody has herpes.
You get a herp, you get a herp.
And so HSV1.
Oprah is a super spreader. Sorry.
Oh man. So HSV1, it causes cold sore around the lips, but it can also cause sores in other places, such as the eyes, like over here. Oh, you can't see the eyes, like
as they touch the top of the bridge of their nose. Boom. To the sides.
Or the chest, like between your titties or not titties.
Breasticles.
Between your breasticles, or your chest area in general. And basically just any area that has like a lot of nerves. And the virus, so the way that it works too, is like the virus, it lies dormant. So once you get it, you get like, typically be like one really bad outbreak. That's what it's called when you have an active herpes,
flare
active sores, on your body. That's called an outbreak. So you get one like really super duper shitty outbreak, and then you get less shitty outbreaks, but they can still be very painful. It lies dormant until it's like activated, which can be by biological factors and environmental factors. And by environment, I mean like niggas stressing you the fuck out. By biological, I mean like that time of the month or things that happen in your body. It lies in the pathways that connect the neck with the face. And that's called the superior cervical ganglia.
Whoa.
Ganglia is like gathering of nerves. A gang of nerves? Yo, hold
squad.
On.
Squad.
Now I have to make sure that I'm not bugging, because if that's the case, I'm going to be using ganglia a lot. A structure containing a number of nerve cell bodies, typically linked by synapses and often forming a swelling on a nerve fiber. Yes, a ganglion is a gang of fucking nerves. Wow, I'm so down.
Why anyway. Did God give me my talent? What is that called? Superior cervical ganglia?
Yes.
Superior, like, that's my metal band name. Like, when I eventually create a band. That's fucking radical for no reason.
It's just going to be, like, swirls. Like, just swirls.
That's the band logo, yes.
Yeah, just, you'll be like, what, is that a mess? Are you, like, the dust thing from Charlie Brown?
I'm my gang of nerves, nigga, and don't fuck with it.
Ganglia. Not gang shit.
Ganglia.
Sam made the superior cervical ganglia on the note. She made it bold.
I did like, bold it. You're lucky I didn't highlight it.
I will
or make it 40 points.
It makes this shit the whole document.
I spend way too much time in Word documents. That was just a reflex.
Well, I mean, I do the same. Don't worry. I just wasn't expecting to look back at my notes and see that. It's just very funny. So most research on herpes simplex virus, it focuses on suppressing painful symptoms. However, this study, which was published August 18th of this year, mm-hmm. of our Lord, 2020, it focuses on getting rid of the shit. That's what I wrote. That's so funny. I'm just making myself laugh. But it focuses on getting rid of the actual virus instead of just merely suppressing the symptoms. Mm. So researchers used two sets of genetic scissors to damage the virus's DNA, and the virus was too damaged to repair itself. They found a 92% reduction in virus DNA present. Why are you laughing?
Just imagine it limping away. Do you know that Miley Cyrus video? These motherfuckers try to kill me! That's the HSV1 virus. I'm so sorry. Wow. Let me act like I produce a science podcast. But also in those jeans is just as silly as this. So
exactly. So I don't know where you went with that. I was gonna let you rock, but like,
no, these motherfuckers trying to kill me.
Inserts audio clip. By the time I was like, OD sue us for that. Fucking... But so a 92% reduction in the virus present isn't an 100% reduction. However, I don't think that this virus is gonna replicate. If that's my understanding, I might be wrong, but my understanding is that this virus will not replicate, and that's why the 92% reduction is like a permanent 92% reduction. And they use meganucleuses. I was like, what the fuck is a meganucleus?
It's also a very radical band name. Let me bold that as well, to be honest.
I actually really like that one as a band name, meganucleus. I don't even know if I spelled that right. Is it meganuclei? Am I? No, it said nucleuses. It said nucleuses.
Okay.
But I think that it's just I had to Google it and I still don't know what the fuck it meant. But it's like, it used it for gene editing.
It's a gene editing tool.
It's a tool. Because they said that it was more efficient than CRISPR. And I was like, gene editing isn't all evil. Strikes again. But
I don't think CRISPR is evil, but that's for another day.
No. I mean, we already spoke about that. But it's always like gene editing. Like, it's very much...
We're trying to make Nazi babies. Which is...
It's a good link. But it's not the only thing that it does. And it's not the most... important factor of CRISPR or gene editing in general, because gene editing has caused them to come up with a way to perhaps get rid of HSV1. Mm-hmm. So it still serves a purpose. But also, I would like to say that this approach was done in animal models, not human niggas. And it was only done with HSV1. Mm-hmm. So, but they do believe a similar strategy could work with HSV2, and they are waiting. They said probably in about 3 years they can get to clinical trials.
Which is people trials.
Yes, human trials. And I really fucked with this article because we have acyclovir. I think that's how you say it. I know how to spell it. It's very hard for me to pronounce because it's a lot of C's and I's. However, that is the most prevalent HSV suppressive drug. It's an antiviral. They have it in like a cream. They also have it in a pill. And those medications are the most important and the most prevalent in suppressing an outbreak or shortening an outbreak or reducing the painfulness of symptoms of an outbreak. But like when I think of something like chlamydia, we have like the cocktails, erythromycin, something like that. But it's a cocktail. That is for chlamydia, right? And then you have penicillin, and that is for syphilis. And herpes is one of like those three very common STDs. But it was like there was nothing to take or to do to get rid of it. Like it wasn't like, oh, I just take this pill and I'm rid of herpes. But I had a strong feeling that before I died, there would at least be something to either reduce the number of outbreaks or to eliminate outbreaks completely or to make it untransmittable, such as the retroviral drugs that make HIV undetectable. And therefore untransmittable. So it's really cool to see that research is still moving forward in STD control, because of course we have STD prevention, but we're also human and niggas be fucking without condoms and niggas be fucking with condoms and still get STDs. In HSV1 isn't just an STD. You can get that from non-sexual things like kissing somebody on the cheek or something like with somebody with a open sore. So it helps in just controlling things that are transmitted in general. And I appreciate research for that.
Research do be cool, though. Yeah, I think this is really cool. I do want to implore people to go back and listen to that herpes episode. I think it was called Herpes Is Not the End of the World. Because if you haven't ever listened to Inner Hoe Uprising, you might not know. You might just be like, are these bitches shaming STIs or something like that? And like, that's not what's happening here. I think it's just cool And mm-hmm. I like the fact that you kind of rooted it in pain, the pain that people go through while experiencing an outbreak, instead of like what people typically, or at least in public spaces, associate with herpes, which is just like, I don't want that, which is like the stigma mm-hmm. element. And this mm-hmm. doesn't seem like they're addressing it because of the stigma, but rather because it's like flare-ups are painful. Yeah,
precisely. It's not like the aesthetic of you don't want to be seen
as someone with herpes, or is viewed as like dirty or any, like, that's not exactly what we're getting at here.
But it's definitely that a lot of pain is associated with it, because it's a virus that lies in your nerve tract, so it inflames your nerves. And I don't know if y'all niggas ever had nerve inflammation, but that shit fucking hurts. And I couldn't imagine having something that reoccurs.
It's chronic.
Sometimes
illness.
At random, sometimes like super, so often that doesn't make any sense, and you have to be on antivirals every day.
Right.
That, you know, now there's something that could potentially take the pain away or ease it significantly.
Yeah.
You know, but niggas be having herpes.
Niggas do be having herpes, though. Even if it makes it untransmittable, that kind of addresses it. Like what you said earlier, like flare-ups can be caused by stress, and I'm sure being scared every time you have sex with someone, if they're going to find out you have herpes because of how stigmatized it is, causes you stress. So if it's like, oh, I have this, but I'm not going to spread it to anybody else, might like ease your peace of mind and might cause less flare-ups. I mean this very sincerely. That was a cool story, bro.
Oh, thanks, bro. Totally good.
I'm going to wear that shirt next time we record.
Please. Please, so I could tell another story. You could just go,
just look at the shirt. Just be a fucking asshole, like I was in 2012 or whenever I got that shirt. Shout out to not throwing out good shirts. Anyway,
yes.
Is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you, helping you learn some new shit, or helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time? You say it is. Well, we love to hear that. My acting is so poor. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you are listening to us on a podcast app, whip your phone out of your pocket or off the dinner table or wherever the freak it is. Take a moment to open the podcast app. It's either Apple, Stitcher. You have to do this on the computer. So if you're on your computer, you go to Stitcher.com. Type in Inner Hole Uprising on either. Stitcher, you scroll down. You see ratings and reviews. Apple, there we go. Rob has the visuals. Press subscribe. I think that's the top right of the screen, that big purple button.
I'm already subscribed, bitch.
There we go. Real nigga shit. Scroll down. You see ratings and reviews. You see the 5 stars. You click the 5th star. Please don't click the 1st star. It doesn't work in reverse.
Oh.
It's like the English language, and not, is Arabic red left to right or right to left?
It's Arabic is right to left.
All right. So now it's just directions. Fuck. The stars are like English, not Arabic. Click the one on your right. That took me a long time to say because I was visualizing it in my fucking head. Click that 5th star. Then scroll down a little bit more. Type rating and review. Start writing your rating. I love these niggas, even though they don't know right from left. It's okay, though.
I'm about to Google this shit.
Also, don't write niggas, because the review probably won't go through. Say nakers. And press submit, and then you've done us a solid. Thank you for going through that with us. Also, if you have some extra change and some extra time, you can drop us some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or join our Patreon community and access things like our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. Or you can just hit up your friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. It is really good. I love these human beings. We thank and love you all for your continued support.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next current event today is the fact that people in the pandemic, which is everybody, I guess. Let me say that again. People are pandemic fucking their roommates and other fun findings. The pandemic Lovato. I do call it that, unfortunately. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not going to laugh because of my humor, but, you know, good stuff.
I held that in for 2 months. I didn't let anyone know that I was calling it that in my head. But now that it's out in the world.
It's too long to hold on to a gem. Well, you were holding on to a rock.
And now it's a diamond. There you go. Yes. There you go. According to Match.com, most singles aren't having sex during the pandemic, but those who are loving on their roommates. So this information is from Match's annual Singles in America report, which has happened 10 times now, and I've never heard about it. So that's very interesting.
Like, oh, okay, are you inclusive, bitch?
Well, they do 5,000, this particular round, they've done 5,000 singles across this nation, the United States of America, this August specifically. And they say that participants were from all ages, ethnicities, incomes, and walks of life. I don't know what the actual demographic breakdown is, though. So, grain of salt, but let's talk about fun stuff anyway. Some interesting findings. I feel like we can answer some of these just to get the conversational juices going. But 63% of singles are spending more time getting to know their potential partners during the pandemic. Do you agree with that? Or do you fall in that 63%, rather?
I fell in that 63%, yeah. Okay. I did spend more time than I did. That's why I didn't end up in real relationships.
I hate you. Yeah, I agree with that also. I think people in general are just taking a little bit more time, whether it be like the physical distance, like particularly at the beginning of the pandemic, where it's like, no, I'm not going to just go to your crib and fuck because I don't want coronavirus. 59% said that they are having more meaningful conversations during video dates. I didn't have video dates before, so I can't really base that on something. And I wouldn't say that the video dates that I have done have been particularly more meaningful than in-person dates.
Romantically, yeah. So I was like, well, my friends, our video dates have been a little bit more meaningful.
Oh, friends, we're getting into the shits.
But with niggas, actually, I don't even think I was video dating niggas. Did I video date any niggas? No, I ain't video date nary one nigga.
Nary a nan. Negro. Negro. Anyway, 63% became less worried about their appearance when video dating. I have to think about all of the video dates and what I looked like. Okay, the most recent one, no, I didn't care. That's fine. I didn't even fill in my eyebrows, but that's just as much as I care for this. So there we go.
You did in the beginning, and it's like,
The first ever one during the pandemic, I did put a wig on. 76% of singles on both sides of the aisle believe that it's important for a potential partner to share the same political beliefs. I fully agree with that.
Fully. And it's been like that forever. That's never.
Always have. Always will.
Yeah.
Not breaking that. 59% of singles want to know if their date supports Black Lives Matter.
That's surprisingly not a low percent. Well, not low percent.
You said surprisingly not.
It's not, I'm surprised it's not higher. And not just for both sides. Like, oh, you a Black Lives Matter ass bitch?
That's why that's interesting.
Like, you love Black Lives? I'm surprised it's not 100%.
So something that is very curious to me, like whenever somebody conservative tries to match with me, I'm just like,
how?
I don't get, like, is that what I'm portraying for you?
Maybe niggas don't even know what conservative means.
You know what?
Like, let me click something.
The way some hinge profiles are set up, yeah, absolutely right about that, because what do y'all be talking about? Anyway, 21% of singles will ask if potential date has been practicing social distancing. I will absolutely ask that. Ask that to a nigga who went abroad. And I was like, yeah, we're not going on a date because you went, like, at first I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And then I was like, in hindsight, you went abroad. Nah, we're not doing this until you quarantine the 14 days. And he started being kind of mean to me. So that's a dub. But, like, why were you that mad?
Yes, I could be like, I could understand being like, oh, like, you know, I don't like this. I don't want to do this. Or being annoyed, but, like, actually being, like, angry.
It wasn't mean because don't talk to me like that, but it was just like the energy significantly shifted and you could see that he was being standoffish, but it's like, it's a pandemic. Like, what the fuck is your problem? Anyway, so yeah, there's that. All right, let's go into a couple more stuff. Let's talk about who is fucking. It's dry out here, boy. 71% of survey respondents said they didn't have sex with anyone. That number was high to me. That was a really high number.
I'm one of those niggas.
It's going to be a dry ass summer. The only wet we get is the snow.
You said summer?
Oh, fuck. My winter. Damn.
It's the summer anyway. Fucking global warming. It's like mad. It was like 70-something degrees
it's
today.
It's a pretty nice fucking October. I'm having a good time, honestly.
The fucking trees are like, I'm just going to go from green to black. Because there's this autumn shit is just not hitting.
Yeah, I still have peppers growing. Fucking the homies out of... The people who are fucking, the match respondents, survey respondents who are fucking, nearly one in four singles had sex with non-romantic roommates in the past 6 months.
So fucking wild.
Niggas are just fucking the homies. Emphasis on home, because you live at home with them.
I get it, I get it.
Sorry. That might be an episode title, so I really had to drive that one home. But yeah, that's very cool. Ain't no fun if the living homies can't have none, however. These are all subtitles that I made on myself, clearly.
I can tell.
It's like Match.com, you need to hire me. 13% of singles were invited to have sex with someone they were not in lockdown with, but declined. Shout out to you guys.
Was I invited to fuck somebody?
You don't fuck outside of your home. You're Nola darling over here. Right. Robla, you're darling. Right. I'm sorry. No, I don't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
Rola. It gets worse. That's Let me just stop. Rola. That's weird. Yeah. Did you get invited?
No.
Okay.
I fucked one time outside of my house.
Okay.
But it's because he left my house and we went to his house. And then
Okay. Did he have roommates?
No. Okay. He lived alone.
See, that's another thing.
If he had roommates, that was not going to...
They just come in and cough.
Coming in cough? Yeah. I don't get it.
Now they just start spreading. It's just...
Oh! I come in a cough and I fuck everybody up. You put the outside in?
Exactly. Still fucked all the way. Anyway. pandemic got me horny. That was not a good one. Only 7% of singles claim their sex drive increased during the pandemic, with Gen Z reporting the highest of any generation with 14%.
How's your sex drive been, Sam?
My sex drive in general has always ebbed and flowed. So I have peaks and valleys. Is that a peak right now? But I don't think that that's like inspired by the pandemic or anything like that. And I don't feel like it was lessened by the pandemic either.
I think my sex drive, it was lessened by the pandemic after New York kind of got out of the rough. My sex drive went down. I wasn't like... I was a horny bitch, man, before. I think I was just trying to cope with all the shit happening. Fair. And now it's like, I'll make time to go masturbate. Like, I'm going to masturbate tonight. And then I do it. I'm like, this feels good. But I'm not even like as active as I was on OnlyFans because I'm not, just generally not horny. I have to force myself to be horny sometimes. I'm like, I don't feel like doing that. So, but I'm happy.
There you go.
Just not horny. I wish I was horny, but then again, I'd just be horny and not fucking. That'd be horrible.
True.
So.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. Yes. It kind of works. It benefits out to not get super horny during the pandemic. I was also thinking, yeah, like, what instances would make someone do that? Like, maybe the can't have, like, want what you can't have kind of thing. Like, ooh. Mm. But aside from that, there's been a lot of bad things
fucked
happening.
Up shit.
Why are you that horny meme? Like...
horny police go bust through the door. Like, if it's not the pandemic, there is so much shit happening in this country. If I'm about to masturbate, I can't even go on social media.
Oh no, yeah,
because that shit will fucking kill my heart on immediately. And I'm like, yeah, immediately. Like, I put the phone down, gotta decompress. All right,
I'm you gotta do yin yoga for 45. That's why I'm so horny lately. No, that's
lays in missionary position with legs behind the head for 2 to 5 minutes. I'm ready to fuck.
All right, last subcategory of this bullet is baby making. It's not just about living in the moment. 1 in 5 singles modified their plans on having kids or more kids, and I think that holds true for me. Like, especially like whatever happens in November, like whatever the trajectory of the country is going, it's like, oh, maybe I won't. Maybe I will.
It altered mine, but as in, if I want to do this, I have to do this soon because the world's fucking ending.
Fair enough. Yeah, that makes sense too.
Like, I feel like my child would probably have a good chance at life, but I think it's a clip for me real soon. So, not that I'm going to go die. Like, no, nothing like that. But how, like, just...
Is there something I don't know?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, Sam. I don't fucking know. No, I just... I guess with the pandemic and seeing all the shit that I saw, it made me realize that time is, like, legitimately finite.
Yes.
It's, like, legit finite. So... Not that it sped up my plans, but it just made me think of them more seriously. Instead of having it be a passing thought, like, you know, actually think and do research into it and shit.
That makes sense. I'm always kind of thinking in terms of time is finite, especially since my mom passed away. But this pandemic has made me really cherish the relationships that I do have. And want to, like, grow closer bonds with people as my knee starts hurting.
Wow. You need to do a body scan, exactly. Sam. That's stress.
Oh, man. All right. So a couple of other things. More information on the hookup culture is dead. 63% of people are spending more time getting to know potential partners, as we said. 69% of people are being more honest with potential partners. 52% of people are reevaluating their checklist, and 59% of people are considering a wider range of people as potential partners. 61% of people are focusing less on physical attraction. Oh, no. 61% of Gen Z are focusing less on physical attraction, and 49% of millennials are focusing less on physical attraction. More meaningful conversations before meeting in person are being sparked, which just makes sense. Like, if we're taking more time before meeting, yeah. With Gen Z.
And also, I don't want to waste my time, like, going outside and potentially getting fucking COVID. Yeah, for you? To hang out with a fucking piece of toast.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a sad story. Like, I got COVID for this. 58% of people have shifted towards more intentional dating, which I guess is just, like, not... fucking
that's me. That did happen to me. I'm more intentionally dating and not just dating niggas that just come into my life, which is why I'm not dating.
There you go. I like that. Breakups, makeups, and new phone who dis. While 26% of singles broke up during stay-at-home orders or due to stay-at-home orders, 25% of singles had an ex reach out to them during the pandemic, Lovato. There was a lot of new phone who... I ignored a lot of text messages at the beginning of the pandemic, I will say that. Over 1 in 10 singles actually rekindled a previous relationship during the quarantine. But will it last? Dum-dum-dum. Next episode of Pandemic Ball Z. Sorry, I'm just having a narrative over here.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good as well. I don't think I rekindled any old relationships. Did I have any new phone tutors?
I see you out there on the front lines. I want to be at the front of your line.
Please stop, Sam. Actually, no. I don't think I'm lying. My ex did hit me up and try to, like, be my friend, and now he's blocked on all platforms, so just that didn't work out.
Shout out to the block feature one time for the one time.
Boy, I blocked that man on Cash App. He had to email me because he had to send me back some money.
Yo, that's funny.
Like, why did you use Zelle?
A couple more bullet points. We got race and politics. There's been a 58% decrease in singles not open to dating someone of a different ethnicity in the past 10 years.
Okay, 58% in singles. Okay, so that means that only 20% of people are less open.
Oh, so people are more open now.
I don't know why I didn't just fucking say
that. Yeah,
that
was kind of confusing. Oh, that's really weird to me. I thought people would get more racist over time.
No,
niggas are getting less racist and significantly in the past 10 years. Wow.
It's probably white people being more into dating people of color and black people because they're like, oh, maybe I was racist and disqualifying this whole fucking group of people. Maybe I should try fucking them. Still racist, but I doubt that it's... I have a strong feeling that it's not, let me just say, Black people being more open to
because
dating
it seems
people.
Like across the board, I can't speak for all Black people, but across the board it would be less. But then there is that, there's that whole, you know, trope with like, as it pertains to Black women specifically, like, oh, I don't feel, because like misogynoir is a thing that exists in the community. And so I'm leaving community dating. I don't know what that looks like in terms of numbers. But if a lot of Black feminists who date white niggas, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but that is a phenomenon. And as at least more people of millennial and Gen Z age become more socially conscious, like maybe that alignment is, I don't know, this is all conjecture. But as you get more feminist, less you're willing to accept from outright misogynistic Black men. Not saying that white men are misogynistic. Many of them are. And also misogynist. But maybe you're just like open to exploring outside of that because you're sick of that here. So you want to get more options. Mm-hmm. And not just white men. It's like all men who aren't Black.
I can see that.
Possibilities.
That's very interesting.
It was a really, just the fact that it was so stark in either direction was just weird to me.
I'm going to find out how this fucking statistic shit is based, because I don't know. This isn't, this reflect across all groups. I know it
not,
better
not. The niggas I know.
Dumb niggas only want Black girls, all right?
We also got 76% of today's singles believe it's more important for partners to share the same political beliefs, with a shocking 25% increase versus 3 years ago. That's not that shocking to me. That is actually very not shocking, because the country is increasingly more polarized every single day over anything.
Yes. And I think I've only dated one person, like seriously was in a relationship with one person, but he was white, tall.
Was he Republican?
I think so. Probably. We had very different political reviews, and he fucking hated Obama. And now, even now as an adult, you know my feelings. However, his reasons for hating Obama were different than my reasons for disliking Obama. Mm-hmm. So I think even in that, we still had very different political views, and that shit poured out into our very short relationship. Because that nigga was racist. So... I never again, if you ain't here for the cause, you ain't down for the fight, you got to go. Or people who are like neutral, like who just be exhibit, and typically that's usually when I don't date Black people, but they kind of just be existing. They don't be loving out loud in real life. No, I need you to be loving out loud every day, nigga.
Seriously.
And not BLM merch, nigga, and putting protect trans lives in your fucking bio.
Sam Whiteout. Sorry for anybody who likes that guy. Not saying I don't. What is he, a Kappa? Shout out to the noobs. Yeah. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just saying things. It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children
9:55.
Are? Nigga, I can round up. Can I?
Because if you say it's time, my brain's going to go.
Okay.
Why are you still on?
We have two more bullet points left. The next one is, y'all broke, nigga, y'all broke. Which is a riff on I'm Broke, Nigga, I'm Broke from Chappelle's Show. But I didn't want to speak that into my life because I don't feel like I'm broke at the moment. So I just placed it on you guys.
Thank you so much, Sam.
26% of singles are now more likely to want someone who is employed full time. That was kind of amusing to me.
Why?
Not like... be okay with, but specifically to want. So that implies, like, did you want someone who was not employed full time?
Unemployed.
Which I mean, fuck capitalism, but was that what you were looking for? Like, it's the want there that's like, okay, sure. Maybe it's just bad wording. Following the trend, 26% of singles are more eager than ever to find a financially stable partner, which makes total sense to me given the times that we are in.
Yes.
With economic uncertainty everywhere, singles have been more likely to add quote-unquote smart with money to their list of qualities in a potential partner, which just reminds me of these niggas on Hinge trying to flex like they know anything about the stock market. And
oh
it's
my
so
god, niggas on fucking
annoying.
What is that shit called? Robin Hood.
Yeah, which I mean,
Cash App stocks. Yeah, that's the thing, right? Cash App sucks. You can, my boy, like, oh yeah, I had $3 and I just randomly invested it and I made like $100.
And that's really an offshoot of Cash App.
Yeah. It's like on the app. You can invest the money. It's in your Cash App. If it's in your $10, you can invest it. But anywho, I'm not trying to advertise these niggas. Don't be.
Oh, that's a fact. Although one time we did have a Robinhood spot. But I'm not trying to yuck anyone's yum or anything like that. But when you don't know what you're talking about at all, don't put a screenshot of some stock-related shit in your Hinge bio, because I'm a dickhead and I'm going to ask you about it, and we are slowly but surely going to reveal that you don't know what the fuck you're going to talk about, and you're going to get defensive because you're a man. Because women don't have that in their fucking profiles. They have interesting
shit. That's so fucking weird. That's so weird. Yeah. But I definitely have felt the increase of wanting to be with somebody who's more financially stable. I've definitely been dating nothing but financially unstable niggas probably for my whole dating life. Yeah, I've been carrying these hoes. But now I'm like, nah, I can't. You gotta bring home some bacon too, nigga. Well, we don't eat pork.
Yeah, I was gonna say beef bacon.
You gotta
bacon?
Bring home some, I call it faking. Because I don't eat meat. So it's fake.
Oh, you get that carrot shit? That shit is made of carrots?
It's not carrot shit.
Some of it is carrot.
I don't know what it's made of, but I don't think it's
carrot. Now, some of them are carrots, but you're probably talking about something different.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Now, I'm talking about some shit that literally just tastes like bacon and it's fake. It's fucking awesome. But, so bring home the bacon. But yeah, no, seriously. Especially in, like, times like this. It's like, even if you're not employed stably because shit do be happening, but being at least smart with money and smart with the money that you do have, because capitalism is fucking trash, but it's a system that we live in,
right?
So I have to fucking get with it or literally get lost in poverty. Yeah.
That's facts. Yeah. That's facts. I completely get that. Our last bullet is in a pandemic. Lovato, where in the country are y'all dating? The singles most ready to date in person live in Jacksonville, Florida, followed by San Antonio, Texas, followed by, this was very funny to me, fucking Atlanta, Georgia. What is wrong with y'all?
This is funny because these are three, exactly. Like, fucking hot spots.
What is wrong with y'all? Like, it's like, yeah, that's why. What the fuck?
The fact that New York is not on there is very telling. Exactly. It's very telling.
Because we really saw some shit, bro.
We saw some
niggas
shit.
Niggas collectively went through something very traumatic. What?
Facts. We have a fucking collective trauma in New York. It's fucking wild.
Oh my god. Anyway. Bless up y'all. When it comes to staying on the couch, there are also all over the map. The top cities where singles were least ready to date in person include Portland, Oregon, Fort Worth, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona. For whatever reasons. Portland, they're over there turning up every fucking night with the protests. These niggas don't have time.
That's what I was about to say. I can see why Oregon isn't, you know, niggas is like, let's focus on racial
or let's not be outside because the sky is orange.
Yes. Or let me go be a white supremacist and you can't really date when you're being a white supremacist. Well, you can.
I don't want to know what those kind of dates look like, honestly.
Yeah, no. You could only imagine.
Yeah. Ugh.
This movie's about that.
2/3 of singles are ready to date in person again. Gen Z men are the most eager, with 50% claiming they're very ready. These niggas are just horny. That's what that says
to
me.
Seems like you're ready, so go and catch that COVID.
The enthusiasm is not shared by everyone, though. 68% of boomer women claim they're not ready at all. And I just think of all of the auntie figures in my life who are just like, nope, not me. Not me, baby.
Couldn't be me.
I really appreciate that. Shout out to the aunts. While 20% of singles say they'll insist both individuals wear a mask throughout the date, young singles are the most open to wearing a mask, with 28% of Gen Z being open to wearing a mask and 25% of millennials being open to wearing a mask.
Shout out to y'all kissing through the mask. I definitely seen a couple kiss mask to mask on a run at work, and I just thought it was very interesting, but I wasn't knocking it because I'm like, you're safe.
Yeah.
I mean, even though you niggas are like this close.
Yeah, I'm not
together,
sure how useful it but, is.
Yeah, it's not very, but I'm like, I guess it's still practicing intimacy while trying to practice being protective.
Mouth
in
condoms.
Some form. Yeah, basically
mouth and face condoms.
I appreciate it. It was very cute, but they were not millennials. I can tell you that. Aww, much.
I fucked with that.
I loved it.
Did you ever see Skins? Like any of it?
Oh God, I watched that whole fucking series.
Do you remember one time? This is a very obscure joke. One time they were performing a song like at a pop competition, and it was like ass to ass with you. I wanna see me going ass to ass with you. I'm assuming you don't remember. But you saying that made me think mask to mask with you. I want to see me going mask. And like, I remember that, but I don't want to go back and rewatch Skins. But I'm like, what the fuck were they talking
about? You could probably just go on YouTube. I'm
sure you at this YouTube. Point now, yeah. Everything it was like a double-ended dildo. Like, what were they talking about? Shout out to Skins. But not the American like version. That was not good. Who wants to go ass to ass? That's like a very low... Both masks on, going ass to ass, like that's low transmission in regards to different types of sex, in my opinion, of coronavirus.
Going ass to ass, yeah, because if you go ass to mouth, you know that's a transmission mode. So yeah. Going ass to ass is just going right back where it came from, you know.
Exactly. Let's go ass to ass. Anyway, that's just a general feeler for anybody who wants to. All right. Ass, let us get into the last segment of the day, which is Fuck You. Typically on Fuck You, we read listener letters, but in lieu of listener letters, because we don't have any this week, we're going to read stories about people who are fucking their roommates from a Vice article written by Calvin Kasugu. What's good here? What's good? Okay, let's start with Carol, who is in Sao Paulo, Brazil. I live alone in a one-bedroom apartment in Sao Paulo, yet somehow found myself isolated at home with a friend that I didn't know all that well before. We've known each other for years through mutual friends, but have never been close. Before Brazil started taking this pandemic seriously, she asked if she could crash with me for a couple of days while she looked for an apartment. Since I was on a week-long leave from work for a trip, I told her to take the keys and make herself at home. The day I came back from the trip, we decided to self-isolate together, even though there was only one bed for us to share. I feel like they were just setting each other up for failure at that point. Like,
or success.
Right. Somebody was trying to fuck when that suggestion was made. Even though there was only one bed for us to share, I couldn't sleep, so I sat up. When she asked me what's wrong, I asked, any chance you might want to add benefits to this friendship? You always wanted that, you fucking lying ass nigga. One, like 15 minutes, you can't sleep, and you're already trying to fuck immediately in. You were always trying to fuck.
Fine.
And then the friend said, thank God.
They was going to fuck regardless.
We're going to fuck regardless. And now they're in love, as lesbians do. Now we're co-parenting with her dog, sharing a bed, cooking together, and planning our entire quarantine together. All of our friends say we accidentally got married. It's an extreme quarantine version of the infamous lesbian U-Haul. We haven't put a label on what we have, but it's sure a very intense friends with benefits situation. We're sexually involved, but it's not necessarily romantic. We're thrilled. We're having fun with this whole thing. Plus, I got a dog in the deal. Very sweet. Next up, we got Jess21 from Florida, who just... initially wrote into Vice with all caps saying specifically, listen, if you post this, I want to stay a non, but me and my roommate, both trans girls, be cuddling and fucking a lot, and that's all I got to say, LMAO. Vice followed up, and that was not all she had to say.
You're told big letters.
Yeah, exactly. She went on to say, we spent every day together even before we were roommates. We've been best friends for a while now. We've become roommates because our leases were up at the same time. While isolating together, we were growing a little touchy with each other and sharing blankets. The day we started hooking up, we were watching YouTube on the couch and snuggling. How romantic. I wonder what they were watching. I was laying... Oh, that would be so sweet. I was laying on her chest, being a bit of a tease, and I looked up at her and we started making out. Then she spanked me with a little toy I had left out in the living room. Niggas is really leaving clues, bro. All these people wanted to fuck their roommates.
These are psychology setups. Courses. They left out social cues.
Exactly. One thing led to another, and we ended up in the bedroom going at it. Caps came back for that one. Two goths, one apartment. What do you expect? LMAO. Also, she's very dom and I'm a baby, so hooking up was inevitable if we're locked up together. We got Chris, 21, Boulder, Colorado. I had a girlfriend when my not straight roommate and I got drunk the first day of quarantine, and my roommate told me she liked me. Not long after, she wrote me a 2-page letter confessing her deep love for me. She actually brought it to my work before I had to stop working. My favorite quote from the letter is, "Every moment we share makes my body tingly inside. I want an intimate, deep bond, but I don't want it with just anyone. I want it with you." I literally read it on repeat in my head, which was kind of sweet, but also like, she was plotting on you. Sheesh. She came home and I wanted to show her that I felt the same way. This is niggas, it's just an ancient nigga immediately. So we had sex from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Ever since, we have been having literally the best sex ever. Our straight roommate hates us. She yelled at us after she found out we were having sex, and now she doesn't talk to us, and for the time being is living with her dad. The fact that she dipped.
Is that homophobic or just not comfortable with niggas fucking around you?
I don't know, and we can never rule anything out. I think the fact that she said not straight roommate was implying that she's homophobic.
True.
I don't know how Boulder, Colorado is, but personally, unless I'm fucking y'all, I don't want two non-romantic roommates to be fucking, because when the shit blows up, it's very awkward for all of us in this situation.
We're all together in this fucking place.
And it's a fucking sitcom that I didn't sign up for. Like, no. But yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Also, she could have like went to live with her dad, because like a lot of people went back home to live with their families during the pandemic. Sure. But I don't know. This nigga's trying to offset her fucking ain't shitness for cheating on her girlfriend and be like, my roommate's homophobic. That's the real story here. Like, nah, that's you're garbage. But anyway, how it ends. I broke up with my girlfriend and my roommate took me on a quarantine date. She made dinner and set up a picnic in our apartment living room with candles. Then the city relit the Flagstaff Star. Why the fuck did you tell us that? I don't care.
What is that?
I don't even know. A star-shaped light display on the mountains in Boulder. Oh, I get it now. We drove up there and walked up to it, and she asked me to be her girlfriend, and I said yes. I was already so mad at them. I was like, I don't give a fuck about no Flagstaff Star.
Piece of shit.
No cheating. All right, we got Annie, 20, from Michigan. I've been basically in love with my roommate for the past 6 months, and all these niggas were plotting, man. And now we're in quarantine. We've been drunk talking over boxed wine and frozen taquitos until 6 or 7 a.m. Man, frozen taquitos are such a good drunk food. Mm-hmm. When the sun comes up, I've been playing my guitar for her. That is fucking sweet as shit. And last night she kissed me, and I'm so happy to be stuck with her. When I tell you, it's been a dream. When I woke up today, we were texting even though we were in the rooms next to each other. That's also a benefit. Like, you still have your space.
Yeah.
You still have your own space. I've been knitting a lot in quarantine, and she wants me to teach her how. We kissed again, and she's told me she's had a thing for me since I moved in.
So niggas was plotting on each other.
Plotting,
but together.
We love consensual plotting.
Yes.
Or mutual plotting. Two more. We got Francesca, 24, in London. My flatmate and I were already openly queer, but spending more and more time together was a powder keg. We've lived together since September. We live in student accommodation, so it was fully random. And apparently, we've both had small crushes on each other. We had been at the last party of the year, which was the last gathering our classmates would have since the rest of classes were canceled. We both wanted to leave early since we don't love staying up late. We were sitting together on the bus and suddenly holding hands. After we got to our flat, I said something like, "Oh, time for bed." And she said, "Or you can come hang out." We laid down on her bed facing each other, talking and holding hands again for a long time. An hour and a half later, we were almost falling asleep, so we agreed it was time for bed. We stood up and I said, "Welp," this nigga's so awkward. "Welp, I guess I should go," and made no move to actually do so. She said, "Are you sure?" She was like, "Eat my pussy right the fuck now."
You said.
"You sure? You see this?
You hungry?"
We went back and forth like this for what felt like a really long time, interspersed with pauses where we just stared at each other. Eventually, she said, "Can I at least have a hug?" Yo. This is a real life trick that I've used multiple times. Let me get a hug, though. After a bit, we pulled apart. I looked down and she's looking up at me. And then, of course, we kissed. It was great. From there, we talked about it and we knew we actually wanted to be together. We really don't get sick of each other, even when spending days at a time together, which isolation has proved. Very nice. And now we have the last story. This one is interesting to me. We have Aubrey, 22, from Grand Junction, Colorado. My roommate and I have always known we were attracted to each other. I was actually once the third with her and her ex-husband. And I'm just like, how did you guys start living together after that?
Okay. All right.
But cool. They're divorced now, and I live with her in a small apartment with our two dogs. We call ourselves partners, but in a best friend way. I was okay with us being friends. She always loved me better than anyone else has ever been able to, so even just being her friend is a delight. I thought that was sweet, but Aubrey's 22, and I'm just like, who's loved you? How much time have you had to be loved? Also, how old is this woman?
But at least it's like saying better than I've been loved before. It's like, well, that doesn't make it not accurate.
That's true. It's not accurate, but the grandioseness of it is like,
yeah,
your frontal lobe is not developed.
You say that after you're 25.
Exactly. She's the most incredible woman. She has crazy curly hair and she's super short and wears glasses. She's Miss Frizzle. No, I made that up myself. She's really smart and loves so wonderfully. She hates to do dishes, but that's really her only flaw as a living partner. She used to be a florist, so sometimes she'll just surprise me with fun arrangements. That's really sweet. And doing dishes is the fucking worst. She has a boyfriend, but she's been getting annoyed at him a lot lately. One night last week, we were watching Grace and Frankie together, like we do every night, the routines, when she kissed me and said, I think the problem with her boyfriend is that he isn't you. It was amazing. We ended up sleeping together while Grace and Frankie was still playing.
They just fucked up their own routine.
She had to work early, so we went to bed after. I guess we talk about it more that night. She ended things with her boyfriend, and when I came home from work the next day, she had cleaned the house, she made a bouquet, and cooked fajitas. We're now looking at houses and want to move into in May now. This was written in March.
Wow.
Yeah.
Should be moving fast with gay niggas, huh?
I don't think they were gay. Oh, I don't know. I don't know who Aubrey is. I don't know what Aubrey's gender is.
Okay. Well,
I assume that was the only straight one, actually. But maybe it was all gay. Shout out.
Yeah, well,
take the last year off for gayness.
Yeah. Yeah, gay niggas. moving in together. Like, for real?
There was a lot of moving in.
It's a lot of that's not just hooking up. There's a lot of serious relationships happening.
Yeah, these were almost all. Well, the one with the dog where she was like, I don't know if it's romantic, but I got a dog and we fucking. And it feels romantic, though. It feels like you're not admitting something to yourself.
Everything about that felt romantic. Except the fact that she said that, but it's not romantic.
Will you be in a relationship with me as friends?
And co-parent my dog as friends.
He's like, what the fuck? But cool. Other than the people who cheated on their significant others, I fuck with it.
I wonder if I was like not really liking my significant other. Like, we were on the verge of like breaking up anyway. And then I had a roommate that I did find attractive. Would I cheat? And chances are probably, yeah. I'm like, damn, that's pretty shitty on me. But I'm like, you got to be fucking realistic.
Yeah, you're realistically, I get that this would happen. And I also, that could happen with me also. But I still have to denounce it.
Yeah, so yeah, I still have to denounce it. That still doesn't make it cool. But, you know, I don't blame niggas.
Yeah. Especially I'm not surprised.
I feel like
disappointed, but not surprised.
During this pandemic, niggas truly showed their true colors. Like, never fucking before. I don't know what the fuck it is about COVID, but that shit just shine the light.
It's me. They take off their mask.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It just says truth.
I'm a horrible person. For real, like, nice to meet you.
I guess niggas were home long enough to sit with their own feelings and go, I'm going to stop being fake and show you who I really am. A piece of shit. And that was, like, it just came out of turd out of quarantine. So
yeah.
I can definitely get that. So, you know, shout out to y'all though for actually cuffing, not hooking up, cuffing during cuffing season.
Might as well though. Season. I mean, at least like if we live together and we're gonna be fucking, We got to get some cuddles in there. You know what happens when that oxytocin starts flowing?
Facts.
Those bonds are developed.
Facts.
So yeah, these niggas do like each other. You can't kick out your roommate.
I hope that they follow. Well, not follow. I guess you can't follow. But I wish that there would be like a.
I would like a 6 month follow up. I would like a 6 month follow up.
I would want, which is now actually. I want a whole longitudinal study about relationships started during quarantine and the progression of them throughout time.
I would be very interested in seeing that too.
Especially because this is a thing that it might pass and things might go back to normal, even though nothing's ever going to go back to normal. Nothing's ever going to go back to what it was. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're presenting a new normal. Mm-hmm. And the way that some of these relationships look are the new normal. I think it might be even more appropriate to move in with somebody that you're steadily dating just in case. Look, if an outbreak happens, then it's like, okay, cool. We're going to be stuck together anyway. So now we're stuck together as opposed to us living in two separate places. An outbreak happens and now we're stuck in two separate places.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. Niggas who is doing the longitudinal studies on this specific topic, write into ihupodcast@gmail.com with your weekly findings.
Facts. Or I'm just going to do it myself, which is probably how it happened. Because black crazy is do everything.
Firefighter, podcaster, OnlyFans, researcher. Would you like to add another 5 to my other?
I mean, but I've been a researcher.
That's facts. Talk your shit. Okay. Talk your shit. All right. We should probably end this episode.
All right. Yeah. Fine,
we're just talking. Anyway, if this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate you all. Also, if you're fucking your roommate, you have to write in. You have to tell us.
Because we didn't have like a fuck you this week.
So like, give us one.
So yeah,
let this be your fodder.
Yes. Tell me how you're using protection by using a mask and going ass to ass. gentle reminder, except that I'm checking you again. if you like to follow us on social media, you can do so by following us on Twitter, Inahoe Uprising without the G, Inahoe Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook community by searching Inahoe Uprising, CUMMUNITY. And head to InnerHoeUprising.com to sign up for weekly goodies via our newsletter, pay a hoe, or check out the merchandise that was already sold. Skirt.
That's a fact. No more merch. Where can we follow you?
Oh, you can follow me at Twitter. Wait, you can follow me on Twitter at the_body. That's T-H-E-E for you niggas who thought it was T-H-E. T-H-E-E _body. And you can go to my OnlyFans, which will be in the show notes.
Yes, it will. You can find me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and Carmen San Diego for travel and food photos back when travel and food was a thing. Who's eating nowadays? Who's eating? Nah, niggas do still eat.
What's up with that airplane food? Even though we're not riding
I'm just Jerry Seinfeld. All right, bye and have a great week.